All right, let's talk about platform. So this is just the idea of where it is that we ought to be. And there's a lot of different options that are out there. I'll give some honorable mentions, but I'll also tell you where it is that I think that you should focus your attentions. So as we think through just social media stats, I know you can't read that. I couldn't change it in Canva. I'm sorry. But anyway, so of all adults in America, 83% of them up to the age of 64 use some form of social media. So again, that's up to the age of 64, 83% use social media in some form. Now, 68% of all of those adults are on Facebook. 68% of all adults use Facebook. 40% of all adults in America use Instagram. 33% of all adults in America use TikTok. And then a whopping 83% of all adults in America use YouTube. So YouTube has become kind of a social media of sorts. And so need to keep that in mind as we put forward our information. So. Instagram is 47%. TikTok is 30%. All right, here we go. 83% of all adults use social media. 83% are on YouTube. 68% are on Facebook. 47% on Instagram. 33% on TikTok. And this was just research from Pew this year. Now, of all U.S. adults, of all those who use social media, 81% are on a daily basis. All right. Now, Facebook and YouTube are actually pretty equal across demographics. So no matter what demographic age you're talking about, they're on Facebook and YouTube. So whether you're talking about someone who is 60 or 16, they are going to be pretty much equal as far as how many of those adults, well, obviously 16 not counted as adults, but you get the idea. Instagram is going to skew heavily younger. 59% of those between the ages of 30 and 49 are on Instagram, with 78% of the 18 to 29-year-olds are on Instagram. So it skews quite a bit younger, and TikTok obviously skews younger as well. In the 30 to 49 age group, you're talking about 39% are on TikTok. And then for those that are 18 to 29-year-olds, it's 62%. So again, skews quite a bit younger. Now, daily average usage of social media has plateaued. It was a rising scale, and it is now plateaued at just under 2.5 hours a day that people spend on social media on average. Now, that goes back to Stephen's points that we need to consider, but that just shows us that this is, if you will, the new Mars Hill. This is where everyone is on a daily basis. And if we're not utilizing social media for the glory of God, we got a big miss, because people generally aren't congregating at places anymore. They're congregating online.
So what you're saying is, if they're going to waste time, they need to waste time online.
If they're gonna waste time, let us teach them how to redeem such. And this was just this year's stats on how long they spend. So it is very recent information. Some generations have chosen their platform of choice. So at least 87% of millennials and up in age group use Facebook weekly. Again, 87% of those age groups, millennial and up, use Facebook weekly, compared to only 36% of Gen Z who use Facebook weekly. So that shows that maybe Facebook isn't the best if you're trying to reach the youngest category of people. And that could be a different number now, because that 36% of Gen Z was in 2019, when not all of Gen Z had become adults anyway. So that may be as much as some people are saying 50% now of Gen Z that use Facebook, or as low as 14% that others are saying. So it's hard to say right now. More information will come in. We'll have a better idea there. So just some commonalities and some common rules concerning social media presence. So if you are going to put yourself on social media, which I do suggest because of what we just saw, if you're going to put yourself on social media, here are the common rules that you want to utilize when you are putting your information and your messaging out there. First is that discovery algorithms are here to stay. Now, if I say discovery algorithms, what does that mean? Does anyone know? Yeah, they are suggesting new content. So in the past, it was what was called the social graph algorithm. Social graph graph algorithm was the idea that you had your friends and family, and you would only get the information that you wanted from your friends and family, and it didn't go really outside of that unless you paid for advertising. Now, it is actually quite common that you have what is called the discovery algorithm, which is the idea that, and it's really discovery algorithms, but it's really the idea that they are trying to feed you new content outside of your friends and family. So social media is becoming less and less social aspect that it once was. But it is trying to have you branch out to other groups of people or other companies or whatever it may be. It is trying to broaden your social spectrum is the idea.
Is that why there's like a million ads before you get to see your first friend's post?
No, that's for different reasons. It's not the algorithm itself. I'm talking about the algorithm of what gets fed into your newsfeed outside of advertising. So that, for instance, somehow Facebook discovered that I like Star Wars stuff. I was not in any groups that was on Star Wars, but there was a thing that it started talking about the background of some of the movie facts concerning Star Wars. Well, then they thought, well, if you, what's that?
Because you had a conversation about
it. Maybe if they do not go into your messages, but I may have made a comment on someone's post. So at least not openly, yes. So for instance, if I made a comment on someone's post concerning Star Wars, they're like, oh, okay, so he likes Star Wars, so we'll feed him that. Well, then that fed into, okay, he likes movie ideas concerning Star Wars, and so we'll feed him something that other people tend to like is Lord of the Rings. And so they started giving me Lord of the Rings content that was not advertising, but it was trying to feed a discovery to you of, let's discover if this is something that you like. All right. Now, this is important for churches because, generally speaking, people are more concerned about what happens in their local area than what's happening in a state or two away. And so if something is happening in Idaho, I don't care as much about it. But if something's happening in Owosso, I might care very much about it. So why that's important for churches is the discovery algorithm has actually made it so that even without advertising, it will feed your content to people directly in your local area for free. That's especially true of short form video, which we'll talk about here in a moment. They are trying to feed your reels, your shorts, your TikToks into your local area for free. And they are doing that heavily. If I'm not making the point, let me make it abundantly clear as possible. If you're not putting content out on social media, people in your local area are not getting your content. All right? So you have to be putting content out there so that the algorithm will actually reward you and will actually feed your stuff into these different places, into these different news feeds. All right, so the discovery algorithm is here to stay. And the algorithm wants new content. Now, that's a benefit to churches. Utilize this. Because there's some businesses that there's not really a lot of new content that they can put out on a regular basis, or they have to go dig for an article or something like that. We, on the other hand, have new content that comes out every single Sunday. We have an advantage on a lot of companies or businesses or organizations because we're putting out new content all the time. All we got to do is repurpose it, and I'll show you how to do that here in just a moment. All right, so again, it's here to stay, and so we do that weekly. We have the ability to put out new content all the time. I've always said this for several years. Start with what you're good at. Just one example. There is a church in Harrison, Arkansas. Norman Sewell preaches there. He's a friend of mine and known him for several years. And he is, what do you say, in his 80s? Yeah. So whenever he asked me, I think he was at least in his 70s, of what it is that we should do on social media. What can we do on Facebook? And I told him, start with what you're good at. And he said, I'm good at writing articles. I was like, awesome. Write an article every week and put a picture with it that matches up with it and put just $30 on there to send out. Now, I would probably recommend something different now, but for him, he does that for his local area. But now, I believe there was a post even just last week, he got somewhere close to 300 shares across the country. But that took him 2 years of doing that process. There's a consistency. We'll talk about consistency here in a moment. There's a consistency that now most of his posts get at least 60 shares.
I called Colton one day and I said, have you seen what's going on at Capstone? He says, what's that? I said, he got a reach of 10,000 on his post. And I go back, he's getting 4,000, 3,000, 6,000.
Yeah.
Because of.
Yeah, so it took a year and a half, he said. It took a year and a half of boosting it out before he started seeing huge traction like he does now, that he doesn't even really need to boost anymore. So.
Was that a year and a half of just articles?
Articles with an image.
Okay.
And so he did that every single week. So
if you do it like Reels, you're not going to be doing a year and a half. You're going to be a whole lot sooner than maybe?
We could talk about that, but it always takes time. But we'll talk about that.
What medium or platform? Facebook, YouTube?
We'll get there. Yep. Anyone else? Oh, what he was doing? What he was doing? Oh, sorry, Facebook. He was on Facebook. What would you say? Probably, what, 300 to 400 words? Yeah. So start with what you're good at. But if you're going to start with anything, please start with short-form video. And the reason for that is because there is nothing right now that they are feeding more than short-form video. So I wouldn't give the same advice to Norman now as I did 3 years ago, whenever he asked me. I would say, just take a video of your sermon and take the clips from that. Because again, the algorithm is going hard on short-form video content right now. And I'm talking about vertical short-form video content right now. I'm talking 60 seconds and less. Yeah. What were you calling it? What were you calling it? Your money shots? Yeah. You're taking your money shots of your sermons.
And some congregations, you've got to get them on board. Because if you're going to do clips on Reels, you've got to put a camera in the worship service. And some people aren't going to be comfortable with that. So we've got to help them understand where they're in 2024.
We have one guy that says amen. So I just clip wherever he says amen.
All right, so those are just some commonalities. Let me talk about some rules. Stop the scroll is rule number one. Anytime that you are making content on social media, you have to stop the scroll. And what that means is when you're going through your phone, you're scrolling. And you want to make sure that you stop the scroll. That's interesting. Let me look at that for a moment. That means that there's going to need to be some quality there with what it is that you post. Right now, stopping the scroll does mean short-form video content, but with a hook at the beginning. So you're not going to start with, if you're going to record your own short form video, please, please do not say your name at the beginning, because you've wasted your time of making that video entirely. So don't say, this is Colton McDaniel with the Stone Canyon Church of Christ. I've already lost them. They've moved on. They've scrolled. Because you haven't grabbed their attention. Start with your content right from the get-go. Okay? So stop the scroll is a rule that has been true for years at this point. Post weekly. Some people will say post daily. It is not as important as it used to be. Even just a few years ago, even just a year ago, it was probably more important to post on a daily basis. Post weekly. And just post at least something every single week so that that consistency can happen so that you grow over time. It's going to take some time, though. And so, but this consistency is what is absolutely necessary. Yes.
So if we're wanting to fill the page with reels.
Okay.
What I've seen, 3 to 5 reels a week is a good number. Do you agree with that?
Again, I don't think it matters as much because people aren't going to your Facebook page unless they click from the reel, let's say. And so in which case what your page looks like, if you are at least being consistent on a weekly basis, people don't care. So.
Okay, that's all right. But I'm talking about just for posting reels.
Okay.
I'm not talking about regular posts right now. Mm-hmm. Reels. 3 to 5 reels, is that too much a week?
It's not too much, certainly not. But it's not necessarily absolutely necessary to have that many a week. What we do is we do 3 a week. That's what we do. So.
Quality or quantity?
Which is quality.
Quality. So that's why I say weekly.
I couldn't do 5, but I mean, I could come up with 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm. And so your quality is going to be the most important thing. People used to care about more the quantity of what you put out. Now people are getting a little bit fed up with how much is in their feed, that now they're more specific on what it is that they consume. So, anything else on that? So, consistency, post weekly. Repeat viral for me posts. Now, when I say viral for me, likely it is going to be years before you get an actual viral post. And that's in like the upper 10,000s to millions range. It would be years and maybe never. I don't know, but we're worried about our local area anyway. But you want to look at the viral for me posts, posts that people watched a reel, let's say, 10 times more on this particular one than your average. So if your average is 400 and you get one that's 4,000, analyze that video like crazy and figure out what was it about this video that was especially attractive to people. What did I do differently here? And then you do that over and over again until the well runs dry. I mean, seriously though, maybe that's the hook. I don't know. I don't know. But so for instance, there's a guy out in California that he's been pretty consistent on reels here in particular. And reels is not the only thing, don't get me wrong, but it's the biggest thing right now. And he was doing reels, and I just looked through what's his best performing video. And it was on, is baptism necessary for salvation? That is the one that went straight to the top. Now, it may be that a lot of those views were because they were upset by what it is that he said. But the algorithm doesn't know that. And so in which case, now you have that's being fed to people that it might actually change their mind about something, or at least get them to thinking about it a little bit more, that they go over to your content to consume a little bit more.
I mean, if they're investigating you, that's probably at the top of the list of what they've heard. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to...
Sure.
All right, so just a quick question there. Like, I was just telling Marshall, like, I know if I look through our sermons, which ones spike. I don't always love, I have an idea as to why they spike, and I don't love the reason why they spike.
I understand why, yeah.
And, like, I do, you said the algorithm doesn't know that. I think the algorithm kind of does like people to be angry.
Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And so this is why I tell churches, because this is not our brand. Our brand is not the Republican or Democratic Party. But if you want views, then start talking about Biden or Trump. But then whenever those people start coming in, that's what they expect. And whenever that well runs dry on your sermons, you are going to see a drastic crash in your congregation. I'm not just talking about views. I'm talking about your congregation. You are going to lose your people. You're attracting a certain person. So that goes back to the branding that we were talking about in the last session. Who is it that you want to put forward? And is this particular video descriptive of who we are as a people? And if it's not, then I'm not putting it up anyway. All right, and then always test. Try different things all the time. Try articles. Try short form articles. Try the reels. Try quotes from your sermon put in Canva to make it look attractive. Put in Bible verses. Try everything and see what's doing best. And then hang on to it again until the well runs dry. All right? And there's a reason to do it until the well runs dry. Let's say that you put up there was a church that, it's a Episcopalian church, I think, up in Canada somewhere, that they put up a video, and their best performing video was that they were going to be putting some bee farm in the back of their church building. Not the building itself, but the back of their property. And so they were putting this in, and that was the post that got the most engagement out of any of their other posts. So he just kept on telling them about the beehives and what was going on. But he was making spiritual application throughout. And he just kept on doing that. And it kept on performing well because the algorithm does know, okay, they clicked on this thing that had to do with this church and bees. So every time that that happens, that they put up a new video about bees, we're going to feed it to those same people and then we're going to branch out a little bit further. The algorithm is pretty good at this, guys. And so, I can't remember. I can get back to you. But. Amen. All right. So give and realize that when you test, it may take months before you are like, you know what, this one's not working. But give it a fair shake. Give it some time. The algorithm is all about time. And so the more time you give to something, the more output that you'll generally be able to see if something is working or not. Yeah?
This may not be the right time to bring this up, or you may not have any expertise in it, but Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, things like that, where does that land? Because, so I do podcasts for Ransom Relief Sarah, and Spotify, the last time I checked, showed our daily show like 2,000 people this month. To me, that's viral. I mean, in the sense of our little podcast that we have. So, what is podcast doing right now? Or is that just going out the window? Or
no,
is that for people who just want that dedicated, that's that niche right there?
The last few years have seen a huge uptick in podcast viewing. And that's going to be more for long form content that uptick takes place.
All right, so here, but get my question. So take Pepper Road sermons. Right now we're doing it on YouTube, we're doing it on the website, and we have like the podcast for the web that's connected to the website. Should we be putting it on Spotify that goes out to, because I have it on, I don't know, 10 different podcasts. I put it on Spotify and then it goes automatically out to Google, Apple, everything else. Should we be doing something like that for Pepper Road sermons?
Yes.
Is it hard to do?
No, I mean, it's time-consuming.
It is
time-consuming. Right now, our podcast is not on any platform. You have to manually load it into a
platform. Yeah, it's on the website. You have to manually. What I'm saying is, for like the Daily Answer, I upload it, I edit it every day.
And then it spreads out.
To Spotify, and then I have it connected to, I don't know, 7 different podcasts.
Anytime you can automate something, if it's easy enough, do it.
Right, so what we need to start doing is, besides the social media, like Facebook and things, we need to be putting all their sermons on Spotify as well.
If it's easy enough, do it. Yeah. Anything else on that? On any of those things?
It doesn't necessarily have to be, and this is broader than Brian's statement, it doesn't have to be every sermon. It's like Tucker and I talk, you know, if I do what I feel is a bad job on a sermon, and there was 3 months I didn't post any of our sermons online because I had this terrible cough and I'm tracking through with the sermon, I didn't post them. So, you know, we need to probably be more selective of, you know, what we just put all of our sermons up. Why not just pick the best ones? Because people aren't going to go there every week to see your sermon.
But here's the thing.
Unless you're Pepper Road.
But every sermon at Pepper Road is the best.
I know. But
here's the thing. If it was just an awful sermon, that's one thing. But sometimes the algorithm and your audience actually thinks that the sermon that you thought was kind of junk is the one that they love.
Every time.
And so...
Every sermon on Spotify, you know, and I'm talking about our website. I'm not talking about...
Sure.
Okay. We're looking for the community.
Okay, we do need to move quick, so.
I have a question for you on that point. Let's, you know, I had the same cough you did for a while. Does the world, would people hear that say, I don't want that sermon because he's coughing some through it, or this is real?
This is real. This is real.
That's what I would think is that they're looking for real anyway, and so it's not a production.
Yeah.
We should start coughing and sneezing.
Okay. Did you have something real quick?
Are you aware of Bean Sprout?
Yes.
I've heard of it, but I haven't looked into it.
Load once, deploy many.
Yeah. The only problem with those kind of schedulers and stuff like that is it often has glitches, and so I'd rather just post it straight to where it is than I'm putting it on. That's just me. Quickly.
Some of the stuff you were dealing with was sort of like in-house stuff, issues, and so forth. And Marshall made the comment, people don't want you to craft a message for them. They want you to be authentic. Say what you mean, you know, say what you want to say. And that in-house stuff, that's not scaring people off.
And that's the exact reason why I would actually suggest you use your sermons and not record a reel. Is because that shows this was really what happened versus that I made this particular idea just for you. I made this hook specifically just for you. No, this was about my congregation, and I'm bringing you into that community for a moment.
I would say both, though, because, you know, the reel that the video that I made here a while back, we got a few links.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for the general populace is start with just those videos because it's so easy just to use what it is that you already have.
Biblically, 1 Corinthians, if I understand, was copied more than virtually any other letter of Paul.
Okay.
Because of the problems. Every church wanted to know how to deal with problems.
Okay.
Could you at some point give a suggestion of where you could get a how-to do some of these things? I have no idea how.
Yes, we will.
Pay him monthly.
He's not wrong. All right, let's talk about the different platforms. All right, let's talk about Facebook first. This is my bread and butter. This is where I hang out mostly. How it's used, let's first just talk about this. Facebook has always been about connecting people. That's been its purpose. So if you can think of it, you can probably do it on Facebook. All right, it is the Swiss Army knife as far as social media is concerned. So if you want to post articles, we talked about the Harrison Church that does that. If you want to post videos, if you want to post photos, if you want to post designed images that you put on, again, as we talked about just a moment ago, quality is going to be important here. You don't just want to pump out junk. But on the other hand, there's actually been a trend in marketing to make your advertising, to make your images look like they were posted by a grandma on Facebook. And the reason for that is if people are used to that on the particular social platform, that may be what stops the scroll sometimes. And so you can go either way. I generally want to try to go for quality over quantity, though, and so I don't want to just pump out something that looks like junk. So what I recommend, generally speaking, is I recommend on Facebook that you post one article with an image. However long you want to make that article, it really doesn't matter. It can be as short as even 150 words is what I'm talking about here. And it can be as long as, there's some churches that are posting pretty lengthy articles. I would not recommend something over 800 words, though, myself. That's maybe just getting a little bit too long for the platform. There's other platforms that have more idea for that long content. This is weekly. I would say weekly, but some people are already doing that for their bulletin. So why not just take their bulletin article and post it on there? So
that would be part of that repurposing.
Repurposing, exactly.
Why just put it on the bulletin?
So you can have a related verse for your image or a picture. If it's about love one another, you might have two brothers in Christ hugging each other. I don't know. Whatever it may be. I would also post one quote image, whether it be a quote from the scriptures or it be a quote from the previous week's sermon, that you take those big points that you were trying to get people to gather, and you take that quote and you post it into an image of some sort. And then I would say at least two reels. I say at least, if two reels is what you can do with the sermon content that you have, do that. Don't try to go overboard. But I would say two reels is good.
Back to the reels where I asked about 3 to 5. What is too many reels per week?
Whatever you can't do consistently. That is what I tell everyone. Is if you can't do any of this consistently, then don't do it.
All right, so just humor me. If I could do 10 reels a week consistently forever, is that too much?
No.
Is it going to affect the algorithm of what they're feeding your reels to?
No. No.
Is this going to be how people react to them and how the algorithm is going to
work? All it does is it gives you... it shortens your time of what it is that your audience particularly is looking for. So if I'm doing 2 reels a week and it takes 3 months before I find out this is my viral for me post that I want to keep on doing that kind of reel in particular, then it took me 3 months. But if you're doing 10 reels, it might only take you 2 weeks to figure out what's your viral for me post. So... We can talk later. All right. Let's talk about Instagram. Instagram's purpose is to share your life through photos and videos. So on Instagram in particular, what I recommend is you need to have photos of your congregation, the people in your congregation, not your building. And so, you know, you can talk about permissions and the legal side of that at another time. But people want to know who you are. And if they can't even see you, you're making them walk into the congregation for the first time blind. And so they're just not going to walk in. And so post images of the congregation and the people within it. Reels, certainly, you can repurpose them there. Stories as well. Stories are important for DMs. So DM stands for? Okay. So if you want people to feed into your direct messages, which you do because then they are fed more of your content later on in the week, If you want people to go into your direct messages, use stories. Stories is an easy way to get people into your DMs. So that's just a little tip there of how you can kind of finagle the algorithm there a little bit. Carousels are also important. And the reason why carousels are important is because the way that Instagram's algorithm works is they will show you one of the pictures that you put up, and a carousel is just the several images that you slide through. So it's literally making you slide in a different direction than what you're used to, and so that's good for your engagement with that particular post. But what it will do is maybe the image of, we'll just stick with the beehive thing, the image of the beehive was not what did it for someone. They scrolled on by. What the algorithm will do is if it was a carousel, it will then scroll to the picture of the person holding up a honeycomb or something like that. It was the same post, but now it's fed into them a second time, and maybe that's what stopped the scroll and then gains more engagement later on. So Instagram is an interesting beast that has some interesting tricks that you can do with that. But what I would recommend, one photo or one carousel with a brief story that you put on concerning the congregation. Maybe something interesting happened, that there was someone that was baptized. Talk about that. Put the picture up of the person being baptized and then tell a story about that person's particular situation. Yeah, so with baptisms in particular, I always ask, do you mind if I put this up? It can be that easy. Oh, they did ask?
No, they didn't mind.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine, yeah. So two reels, you can put it there as well. Repost everything as a story. Everything you put on Instagram, repost as a story so that you can get DMs. DMs? Oh, stories is something that only lasts for 24 hours. So it's like a reposting of something that you put on there, but it only lasts for 24 hours and then it goes away. It's just... Yeah. Facebook's trying to be Instagram, but yeah, so... It does give that idea of, what's the word? Immediacy, scarcity. Scarcity. You want to click on this before. So Instagram's thought is, if we can make scarcity inside of our social media, then they'll stay here. They want eyeballs. That's their main thing. And so that's what makes them money, is eyeballs. So, all right. Yeah, and I would test. We tested something of a carousel here just this last week, and it wasn't a photo of anyone, but what it was is I designed something in Canva that said three commands that help us with bitterness. And then I just used, what was it, Ephesians chapter 4 or Colossians chapter 2, something like that, that here are the three commands in this verse that help us to get past bitterness. And I had just that command. Number one, this command with a little blurb underneath. Number two, this command with a little blurb underneath. And I don't even know how it's done so far. This is just last week that I posted this. And then number three, a little blurb underneath. And so even if they didn't scroll on with that number three, numbers work great on social media. So lists are a big thing on social media. If you can make a list, you can grab people's attention that way. That then they scroll past. But anything else on Instagram? I do want to move through because I don't want to feel like you guys are overwhelmed here. But
just real quick, the carousel, that's when you slide.
Yes.
How many?
Two. Yeah. Let's talk about TikTok. I know Steven doesn't want to. Dad said, make it dance. All right, so how TikTok is used. This is a quote from them. We are not a social media platform. We are an entertainment platform. That's from TikTok. So they see themselves as entertainment. We are not entertainment, but we can still be used in that, by that platform. And so as well, not just for entertainment purposes, but the youngest generation are using TikTok as their first search engine before they go to Google. Now that could be scary. They use TikTok as their search engine before they go to Google. The youngest generation. And so let's say they're looking up churches near me. They'll go to TikTok. So why aren't we there? So this is only for short form video content. So again, repurpose those reels that you did before. Now use them for two TikToks. How many people are against TikTok? I kind of figured that. How many churches are on TikTok? How many of you are on TikTok personally? So I'm guessing your church is not either. I gave you guys the stats at the beginning of this. 67% of the youngest demographic are on TikTok. If we're not going to TikTok, we might could miss that generation evangelistically. Just to be frank. You do not have to get involved with all of the nasty stuff that happens there for you to be able to sanctify it for the purposes of God. So I recommend taking your reels and your shorts that you did and just posting them onto TikTok and then close out so that there is nothing more that you have to do. So that's my recommendation.
You can say two TikToks per week?
Sure, yeah.
Is there too many?
No. All right, YouTube. This is for entertainment, of course, but also for a search engine. It is actually a bigger search engine than Google itself. People go here to find out, how do I change out a carburetor? Right. And so in which case, they're using it as a search engine as well. So if they're wanting to ask a question about what does the Bible say concerning Hosea, I don't know that they're going to ask that question. But what does the Bible say concerning divorce? And they're going to go to YouTube, and they're going to try to figure out what sermon has talked about this. And I surely want churches of the Lord's people to be having the content that they find instead of what they're going to find elsewise.
And be at the top of the list.
Absolutely. So it's used as a search engine probably more, yes?
Well, that says that it's not even that. I mean, there's been preaching before, even a difficult, hard thing online. It's not like you're having to just preach the fluffy stuff because it's going to public. We want them to know what the Bible actually says on some of the tough stuff, yeah. And that's okay to put that on there.
Absolutely.
Just quickly on Facebook, when you were with us and we were working a lot with it, the one that got the most reach, we got over 10,000 reach on, we were doing a lesson on baptism and that argument got started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got over 10,000 on that.
Were you involved?
So on YouTube, am I the odd man out, or is this common? If I want to go find out how to change something, I first look and see if I can find something 2 minutes or less to see if it's something I can do, and then I get a longer form. Do a lot of people do that, or is it just me?
Yeah.
I always look at the shortest video.
It depends. So for me, it depends on what it is that I'm looking for. If I'm looking for, let's say, what the Bible says on divorce, let's just say that. And I go on, I know when I'm coming to it that it's going to take some depth. And so if I see the 2-minute video, I'm going to think, ooh, I don't want to do that because they're going to probably just water down what it is that I'm trying to get after. And so in which case, I'm going for the 45 to hour and a half video to see what are they saying. And then I put it on 2x speed or 3x speed. But that's how, it just depends on what it is that you're looking for. So it could go either way.
See for me, like if I was looking at someone divorced, I would almost like to see, can I trust this guy on a short? Because I don't want to invest 20 minutes.
Yes, and so I would say do both, right? So what I would do is I would take your sermon, post your sermon on there, but then I would take your sermon and I would do short clips. And so then these short clips I've been putting on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, I'm putting on as shorts there on as well. And I'm putting something about divorce in there as well. And now I'm gaining some reputability on that. Can we got to move on. what do you got? All right, so here's what I would do with YouTube, is I would just take shorts. First of all, I know some of you are doing this because I've seen your YouTubes. Do not post your whole service on YouTube. Do not post your whole service on YouTube. Cut off the songs, because if they're looking at a sermon on divorce and then they have to try to scroll through to see finally where that sermon finally pops up, they're gonna lose you. All right, you're going to lose them is what I mean by that. And so keep on, cut it down to just the sermon content. That's all they're looking for. And so if you want to post your singing as well, that's fine. But post it as a singing versus posting it as your service. So post the sermon. Here's an advanced thing that you could do. So this is not something, if you are weighed down and too much time that you're spending on other things, don't do this. But what I would do is I would actually take your sermon and I would chop it down into, let's say it's 3 points. Take those 3 points and chop that sermon into 3 new sermons. That now you have a 3 10-to-15-minute videos. So it helps with that I don't want to invest an hour and a half in this, Stephen. Perhaps, but what I would probably do is I would just rename that video. And so let's say that you're doing it on divorce, and what's one point that you might make on this as you're working through this? One Man, One Woman for Life. Great new title for your video. It will probably get clicks too. Yeah, when should I get a divorce? Reframe it of a new lesson that you're teaching. That's an advanced thing that you can do, and make a new thumbnail for that as well.
Are you saying you need to re-preach the lesson? I mean,
no, you're taking your... You're chopping it up. That's it.
So with live streaming, I would like to do the
thumbnail. Don't do live streaming. We'll move on. Okay. Sorry. Live streaming just doesn't work like it used to. It worked during COVID, and that's the last time it's worked. All right, so yeah, make sure you do some thumbnails. Keep it going. All right, I do want to, here's just some others. Pinterest is something that you can try, but these are just some others that you could attempt. Discovering ideas. It is a pretty popular social media. Meetup, we talked about that. It's best if you're in a major city of some sort, but you can luck out if you're not in a major city. X, formerly known as Twitter. Of course, you're sharing thoughts, you're sharing beliefs. Don't share verses if you're going to use Twitter, if you're going to use X, because it's not who you are individually as a congregation, right? That's not what they're looking for on X. Threads is just basically Meta's response to Twitter, so same kind of rules apply. Snapchat is kind of dying. LinkedIn is growing for businesses, but for different reasons, and so it may not be where you guys want to be. Google Plus, if you guys are still using Google Plus, why? So it's kind of gone. Don't even try, but just honorable mention. All right, repurposing sermons. So we're taking our sermon, Dare to Stand, and we're making it into, here is what the main point, this is actually a different sermon, we're making it into the main point of what we protect shows what we value. That was a sermon on the cherubim that I did. What you protect shows what you value. That was the main point that was trying to be driven at. So I've made it into a quote. I've made it into a short as well. And so we're repurposing sermons here. So here are tools that I use. I use Descript. Descript is a platform that you can post your videos onto, and then what you're going to do is you're going to be able to get a transcript of that entire sermon that you can repurpose for articles that I'll talk about here in a moment. It can also take, with AI, it can make clips for you. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Opus Clip does the same thing. ChatGPT and Claude AI. I go in between. Claude.ai is one that I've been using more frequently than ChatGPT myself. And then Canva, that's where you're going to actually be able to design images a little bit better. For the images that you take of your congregation, though, let me make this point. For the pictures that you take of your people, if you're able to get those permissions and all, for the pictures you take of your people, don't edit those. Because again, people are more interested in raw personality than anything else. And if you edit it too much, they're going to be like, this is staged. So don't do that. All right. And then use Zapier or Make.com. And what these do is it automates some of these processes. So let me just talk about my process. And I just hit the mic. I apologize. But my process. So I will upload the sermon to YouTube as one or a few shorter videos. Then I will update that video, and Descript can upload videos directly from YouTube, so you don't have to do a secondary upload. I will upload that to Descript to then get a transcript of the sermon. Then I'll use AI to choose the short form clips, like in Descript or in Opus Pro, and I will make that into a shorter clip that is a vertical video that removes all of the filler us, it removes all of those for you, and then it also can automatically take your transcript and put those as captions onto your video automatically. So that is extremely helpful. And again, an alternative is opus.pro, and then I will post those short form videos to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. I just post them all. I've now have two or three videos that automatically have been repurposed to four different platforms, to the four platforms that I want to be on. Now what I'll do is I'll take that full transcript that I got off of Descript or a short form transcript that I got off of one of the reels, and I will upload that to ChatGPT or Claude.ai with this prompt. All right, here is what I will say. Listen, in ChatGPT or Claude, I will say this. I am a professional copywriter for social media. Take the following transcript from a recent sermon and create a short summary of the main ideas, 150 to 200 words long. Focus especially on the points of application. Remove all direct references to the sermon and make a style casual but not irreverent. And then I will take whatever they send me and I will post that to Facebook, and I will put an image of something, of a quote from the sermon or something like that, and I'll use that. And now I have a new article. Now I will edit through it. You always need to put a human touch on what AI does because it's often obvious. Yes, yes. I would recommend that if you're going to do images, don't use AI. So.
Read it real quick one more time.
Sure. I am a professional copywriter for social media. Take the following transcript from a recent sermon and create a short summary of the main ideas, 150 to 200 words long. Focus especially on the application. Remove all direct references to the sermon. Make the style casual but not irreverent. Yeah, I can send it an email.
Is it? It'll be on the recording.
Yeah.
All right. So then I will choose a powerful quote from the sermon, or I will choose a Bible verse from the sermon and plug it into Canva, a Canva template. Don't try to reinvent the wheel on Canva every single time. Just use the same template every single time, or use someone else's template, and then I'll post that to Facebook and Instagram. And I can then do a lot of this automated by using Zapier or Make.com. Make.com is a cheaper option now. Zapier has become a little bit more expensive. Now, likely, all of this is going to take a team of folks. Do not put all of this on yourself. And I would probably say that this is going to take somewhere between 8 to 10 man hours.
Per week?
Per week.
Per week or less?
Per week. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Make a team of people that can do these sort of things. But start with what you can be good at, or what you can get good at, and be sustainable. And then train other people so that you can have help with this as well.
Are you talking about 5 to 10 hours of just one man doing it, or multiple people doing it?
Man hours.
Man hours.
Any advice for you are starting off as a team?
Do you have video ability on your sermons?
Limited.
If you can, I would start with reels.
Can he get through a whole point in 30 seconds?
Yes, he can.
So, I would start with video reels.
Is that 8 to 10 work, 9 hours knowing all this?
No.
No? That's anybody.
My man hours would probably be 4 hours.
So you're estimating 2 times as we're learning it?
It could reduce over time as you get more efficient in processing.
Now, the other option is we do this for a fee. but we'd be willing to help as well. Yes. Make.
Do you have different tiers of like pro?
Depends on how many automations that you do, but make can be free if you have few enough automations.
Yeah. Is it worthwhile getting involved in the comments?
Let's talk about comments for just a minute, because we're not going to be talking about that in the next lesson. So for comments, the answer is yes, you need to get involved with the comments. You need to respond to people, and we'll talk about that at least with follow-up. You need to respond to people because when they comment, that's one interaction. When you respond to them, that's a second interaction. And the algorithm will just see that as a new interaction. And so the more interactions, the higher that the algorithm will pump it into other people's feeds as well. So you do need to interact. But I do want to mention about, and this is something that I was... This is a common question that I get is, well, what do you do with trolls, right? Block them. You don't need that noise. So just block them, because you also don't want to get negative press for something that they're being an idiot. So.
Just on that, there's also a lot of filters usually on those things that you can go ahead and set up, like these people can't comment if they're going to be awkward.
Yeah, just block them. Block them. If they're going to be a jerk, block them. Dad, you had something earlier. Okay.
What prep is required? As in training and so on, like video editing.
Well, with what I was suggesting, using Opus and using Vscript, you don't necessarily have to have any video editing, because it does that for you.
And do those programs, do they cost money?
Yes. So Vscript, what did I tell you, Stephen or Marshall? I think I told Marshall.
You told me, but I forgot.
Descript is going to be like $280 for 30 hours of transcription a month. Yes. Yes.
So there's a cost attached.
There is a cost. I would suggest that you do get Canva Pro versus just Canva regular. There's a lot of benefit to getting Canva Pro. So. And then Descript, I think, is a pretty good tool as well.
So will you give us an estimate on the cost of these things if we were doing
it? Yeah, to go through your process, what would be the monthly cost for your church? Or ballpark.
Can I do it for a year?
Yeah, and then we'll divide by 12.
Five to six hundred a year.
$500 or $600 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Not a year. Not a month.
Yeah. You said 280 a month.
No, I said 280 for the year.
You said for 30 hours.
You said for 30 hours.
For 30 hours of transcription per month. Sorry. Okay. I'm glad you asked.
So with Canva Pro and everything, we're talking $50 a month. With Canva Pro and everything,
$600.
Canva Pro a month is $15.
Oh, yeah.
And Descript is going to be $25. And then, I mean, it's up to you if you want to get like ChatGPT 4.0, which is a subscription as well.
$20
a month.
That's $20.
So, that. Okay. Are all questions on that answered though? So, yeah, I would say $500 to $600 a year.
For all of that?
Now, that was not me including. That was for my process. I don't pay for ChatGPT 4.0.
$500 to $600.
That was Descript, Opus, Canva Pro, and maybe some Make. So.
Now, are you going to get into advertising budget?
Yes.
Next?
Yes.
Okay, I'll wait. So.
Can we take just 5 minutes? Is that all right, guys?
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Hey everyone,
can I take a picture of you? I'm a professor.